From the Jackalope Studios, high above the city in beautiful Zona Rosa, welcome to Minutes to Memories, reconnecting spirit, mind, and body with your host, Dr. Daryl Drumright.
Hey everybody, this is Dr. Drumright, Minutes to Memories, coming at you on jackaloperadio.com. If you want to get a hold of me, please call the office at 816-436-9355. Hey, tonight I've been off the air for a couple weeks, and I'm coming back, and I'm really enthused on a lot of different things, but I just feel like I'm not really making traction on the radio here. I'm kind of boring myself, so I must be boring you guys. So I want to jump it up. I want to get some excitement here. I want to, you know, like spark it. I mean, I'm the kind of guy, I love to argue about things. And I've been on this radio show for several months now, and nobody to argue with, and you know, it's kind of, I'm just putting the information out there, and the radio accepts it as if, okay, Daryl, Dr. Drumright, you must know what you're talking about. If you got controversy, if you got problems with anything I say, please email it. Go to harmonyhealth.com. You can see these radio shows. You can send me email. Wrestle me around on my Facebook. I mean, you know, bring it up. I mean, I definitely have very strong views on a lot of things, and I mean, I'm not going to learn anything if people don't challenge it, if they just accept me as like, I know what I'm talking about. Now, I've spent 25 years studying these topics, so, I mean, I do have references, so I look forward to a good discussion. I look forward to engaging conversation with people. And I hope the radio show, as far as I listen to radio talk shows, they tend to be very controversial and bring up things and roll around in interesting topics. So I want to kind of mold the show and move it a little bit more into a little bit more exciting stuff. So tonight I want to go back and review some of the most important things about your body, connecting to your mind, connecting to you, the spirit, soul, whatever you want to call yourself. Okay. Oh, and a little current events. I mean, did you hear that they discovered an Earth-like planet the other day?
No, I haven't heard that.
You haven't got that? They found a planet that is in the Cinderella Zone within our neighborhood, close by. That Cinderella Zone means it's a Earth-sized planet that is in the area away from its sun where water is fluid. Hmm. The scientist that made the discovery has come out, in his opinion, to say 100% likely life on this planet.
Wow.
He said this planet is better for life than Earth because it's in a geosynchronous orbit around a smaller sun. And what that means is, like our moon is in a geosynchronous orbit around us, the one side faces us and the dark side faces away from you. You never get to see the dark side. He said that this water planet is one side of it's always facing the sun, but it's far enough away from the sun that it doesn't boil off the water. It's like a midsummer day on one side of the planet all the time, 24/7. And then the other side of the planet, it's like a summer night. It's 40s and 50s degrees all the time on the other side of the planet. And he said around the rim where the horizon is, all the way around this planet, you get dawn and dusk 24/7. So wow. So you see a weather patterns will be different, things will be a lot different than they are now, and you could see life developing maybe on that horizon and different, completely different life forms on the dark side versus the light side, and imagine the wars that could be occurring as the dark side's invading the light side and the light side invades the dark side. Who knows what's going on?
True.
But you got another Earth-like planet in close proximity to us with millions and billions of other planets up there, makes it very likely that there's lots of life-bearing planets out there. We are not the center of the universe. We're not the center of much of anything. We're just some little neighborhood podunk out here in the trails of the Milky Way galaxy, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
So this kind of new think, this new way of understanding the new knowledges, to me, it just keeps bringing up the mindset of the high Renaissance, when all of a sudden we realize as a culture that the world wasn't flat. You know,
right.
that the Earth wasn't the center of the universe. And then what does that do? Well, that takes all the power structure that was in place and it throws them on their ear. All of a sudden, everything they've been teaching you, every bit of the power that they've held is wrong. So the population starts rolling this around in their head and starting, what the heck, you know, what is going on here?
Right.
And then you get a new paradigm. You get this shift, this mentality, this evolutionary change of the spirit of man as he wakes up to his true position. And with the communication devices we have and everything we have available to us now, I am just excited about living in the 21st century Renaissance. I was watching something today about the Dark Ages and how miserable it was back then. But, you know, the commentary was, what about the 20th century? Mustard gas and atom bombs. I mean, that's kind of dark. You know, we're so close to what's been going on lately. Maybe we don't even realize how much of a dark age we've been living in. And with the internet and what we've got going on now as far as global communication and people waking up to their own power as independent, self-determined human beings to throw down the tyrants in all corners of the planet, the Chinese, the Europeans, all of them, just get rid of all of them and replace it with a transparent system of human beings that work together with a small rule book of, you know, you can't kill anybody, don't take something that doesn't belong to you, and you can't make somebody do something they don't want to do. I tell you, the ultimate golden rule in my book is no means no. If somebody says no, you can't make them.
That's right.
Go the other way. Leave them alone. even if it's eat right. You know, the stuff that I talk about, I want you to eat right or you're going to get sick. I can't make you eat right. But what I can do is I can stop supporting you for not eating right. If you go eat crap and you get sick and then you want me to pay for a health insurance premium that's going to pay for you to get these fancy drugs because you eat crap, I mean, I'm a free man. I can't make you eat right, but I definitely should not be supplementing your treatment because you decide to eat crap. You know?
It's true.
This is the bottom line here, folks. I mean, it's time to wake up and be responsible for yourself, for your body, for your life. It's about the producers versus the consumers. We've got a culture out there right now, and I was reading the Age of Jackson, the 1820s. And it's very interesting reading what is happening in America in 1820s because the Industrial Revolution was happening. There was a concentration of power in the east, in the eastern side. And there was this big debate of the two classes in culture at the time. You had the labor class who subsisted off the work of their own back. Now, there was no income tax back then. I mean, America was a free country. You got to keep what you got paid. The problem is you didn't get paid much unless you had leverage. And then you had another class that they called the legal class. The legal class didn't produce anything. They just manipulated things and lived off the back of the labor class. And they always had a lot more stuff. They were the elites. They were the ones that owned the land that the laborers worked on. Of course, slavery was still around back then. So the slavery class, they actually owned their human beings, but the northern non-slavers were just as bad. They didn't actually own the human beings working them. But they worked them to death. I mean, there was, you know, 80-hour work weeks and pittance on the pay and very poor living conditions. And they were bringing this European ideal of industrial expansion and ownership. And they called it capitalism. But capitalism, when combined with monopolies, isn't capitalism at all. It's cronyism. It's tyranny. It's an ugly thing. And it's reared its ugly head many times throughout our history. But here in the 21st century, I'm done with it. We got to be just throw this out.
I agree.
This is not the American way. The American way is self-determined individualism. Each person has the. We will protect his right to do it his own way, as long as he doesn't kill somebody, take something that doesn't belong to him, or make somebody else work for him for free or for nothing. I mean, it's that simple. Simple rules. If a law is too complex for you to understand, then it's not a law. It's a code, and you need to question it at every turn. That's what Americans do. They question everything at all times.
Or they should, anyway.
Yeah, they should, and they need to do it. I know there's a lot of people out there. I mean, because you think about this, the worker class versus the legal class. What are we going to do with all these lawyers? What are we going to do with all these bankers? What are we going to do with all these insurance agents? What are we going to do with all these people who don't produce anything, yet currently are living a high life? They're living a life on the consumption of other people's production. Or actually in modern America, there's no producing at all, hardly. It's all on debt. They're borrowing from their children to live the high life now and not producing anything. If you don't produce something, you're in trouble, folks. I was talking about somebody today about this. It's like, you know, what we need to do is, we need to do is put into our school systems farming, get back to how to grow plants, how to can your food, how to take care of yourself, you know, how to put a Band-Aid on. And all this stuff I teach here, I mean, the month that I've been doing this on the radio, and you can hear me in my office all the time, everything I talk about is to teach you simple, easy techniques of how to take care of yourself. I mean, my basic premise is the five keys to longevity. What are they? Food. Food is so easy. If it comes out of the ground, eat it. If it's a white crystalline substance, that's a drug. That's not a food. Okay? I don't care. I don't mind drugs. You're free spirit. You do what you want to do. But don't call it food. Okay? That'll make you sick. You're addicted. It's okay. But call it a drug. It's a drug. It's a drug. It makes you happy. It makes your tongue go, woo, brr, wow, you know, that tastes good. You know, drink the, eat the NutraSweet. Drink the Soda Pop. Wow, I get a buzz off that. That's all cool. You know, I have no problem with that. But don't call it food. You're not getting away with it. I had a patient come in today. You know, she's having chronic pain throughout the body. I said, how much water do you drink a day? She goes, well, I had a soda pop today. I'm like, no, that doesn't count. She goes, well, you know, I was drinking a lot of coffee. I drink, you know, 8 or 10 cups of coffee a day. And, you know, I thought soda pop would be better than coffee. So I was trying to, she's trying to hydrate herself by switching from coffee to soda pop. You know, sometimes it's just really, these people are serious and they're hurting. So you got to, you know, be the doctor and coach them through this gently. But it's really hard to not just crack up, just like, you know. Oh my goodness. I mean, I got a water filter system here in the office and I went and got her a big glass of water. I said, here, drink this. You know, a 12-ounce glass of water, a couple minutes later, your arthritis is going to feel better. It's absolutely stunning how a 12-ounce glass of water, if you're dehydrated, the joint pains and the inflammation and the aches you're going throughout your body suddenly cool off. Wow, it cools off. So I tried to explain to her, and you know, I try to pride myself in taking 25 years of research and what I've been able to study and put together and try to put it into common language so that anybody can use it and take advantage of it without depending and paying on big experts to do lots of big procedures and scare the piss out of them. Here's how you do it. Now, water. Pain is a message from the body to the brain, right? It hurts. Your body's trying to get your attention. It's going, hey, I need some help down here. So pain, one of the causes of pain is heat. When your body gets hot, it yells at you. It sends out the signal of pain. So we'll walk down that path further. Friction, rub your hands together real fast. What happens? They get hot. Friction causes heat, causes pain. Walk back up the steps a little bit. Now, how do you keep friction out in your car? You put oil on it. How do you keep friction out in your body? Water is a molecular lubricant for the joints and ligaments and tissue of the body. So you add water, it lubricates the joints, reduces the friction, reduces the heat, reduces the pain. Wow. How simple is that? So drink your water, eat real food, you can have the junk food too, but don't call it food. Make sure you get some real food in your diet. The other, exercise. Okay, what does that mean? That means be active. Get your heart rate up. Sex 3 times a week. I mean, go for it. Okay, that's great exercise. You know, if you can hold it up for 20 minutes, it's even better. You know, try to get some endurance out of this. But something to get your heart rate going. I heard a description of qi the other day that was very, very nice. Qi in Chinese is an electrical charge, right? And in the middle of your heart is this thing called the atrioventricular node, the AV node, and it sends out an electrical pulse that makes your heart beat. Nobody knows, medicine, spiritual, whatever, nobody knows where that comes from. It just kind of shows up in this little cluster of cells and goes thump-thump, 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 and makes the heart beat. Well, what else is it doing is the hemoglobin, or the stuff that carries oxygen around, you know, the stuff that makes your blood red, iron. What color is rusty iron? Oxidized rusty iron is red. That's why your blood's red, because it's oxidized iron in the center of your blood, or the hemoglobin. So this oxidized iron particle at the center of all the millions and billions of pieces in all the hemoglobin of your blood also has a magic property, is that it can carry electrical charge. And iron is a conductor, they call it. It carries electricity. So when the AV node charges and pulses, not only is it making the muscles of the heart go thump-thump, 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 it's also putting an electrical spark on the iron at the center of all your hemoglobin molecules, and then it forces it mechanically out into the tubes called arteries, where it races out into all the different millions of cells throughout the body and gives them a little spark, a little life charge, what the Chinese call qi, so it charges them up. They demonstrated this by somebody's bleeding a lot and you're giving them a lot of transfusions and they die anyway. The theory is the reason why that happens is you might have gave them the physical blood, but it was dead blood. It wasn't charged up. It was sitting in a plastic bag or in some freezer someplace, lost all of its electrical charge. What you need to be putting in people is fresh blood right out of a living thing. Maybe that's why vampires like fresh blood. You know, it's not the hemoglobin they're getting so much. They're actually getting that electrical charge because they don't have their own IV node. Because a dead thing won't have an AV node, right, Todd?
Right.
Okay, so they need that electrical chi charge, so they have to suck the iron blood or the electrical charge out of a living body. Does a vampire get any nutrition out of dead bodies?
I wouldn't think so.
No. Okay, so no dead bodies, just living bodies. There you go. Now we understand why they need that blood, because the blood is alive. Now, thinking of at that point, you see all the movies and stuff that the vampires go into the blood banks and drinking the cold blood. Yeah, I don't think they'd like that very much, you know.
It's a little bit chilly.
Yeah, it's chilly, and it doesn't have any chi in it. It's not alive. It doesn't have that essence that they're looking for, because they're undead. They're hungry for the living, right? The living is the chi. It's the essence. And that bag of blood in the blood bank, that's dead, too, so it shouldn't be able to. We got to look into that.
I think so. We'll do a whole vampire thing.
Okay. Okay, so exercise every day. You got to charge the body. You got to get the electricity going. Stir the chi. The best way I've learned to describe this is life is like whipped cream. Okay, when you're young, it's all fluffy and nice and whipped and sweet and wonderful. As you age, it begins to settle, and it gets thick and pasty and clogged up. Your arteries clog. Your joints stiffen, your muscles are achy, everything slows down, and you think you're getting old. Well, if it's cream that's settling to the bottom, what do you do to get it all whipped up and creamy again? You stir it.
Exactly.
You stir it up, okay? You get out your blender and you stir it up. So in your body, the way your body works, the blender is your willpower. You've got to step up with some willpower and drive and get off your butt and go out there and shake it up, stir it up, go dancing, play some rock and roll, you know, get some life going on in you. Then the chi will stir up and you'll feel younger. Drink the water, stir the chi. All right, we're going to take a break. This is Dr. Drumright, Minutes to Memories. Having a lot of fun today. Hope you are too. I'll see you in a minute.
you know you got to go through hell before you get to heaven. Big old jet and line up, don't carry me too far away. Oh, big old jet and line up, 'cause it's here that I got to stay. Touching down in New
Jackalope 105 FM.
Hey, I'm back. This is Dr. Drumright, Minutes to Memories, coming to you from jackaloperadio.com. All right, where were we? Oh, yeah, we were talking about exercise and get your body up, get off and get going. Okay, two more of those. Sleep. I said get up, but sometimes you got to lay down. Now, there's a huge misunderstanding about sleep. People try to get too much of this stuff. You need 6, maybe 7 hours sleep. Okay, anything over 8 hours sleep a night, you're increasing your risk of diabetes, they say, by about 60%. And nobody wants diabetes, right? You don't want to be like taking shots and sticking your finger all the time and going through all that stuff. It's a mess. So sleep 6 to 7 hours a night. You see people that have sleep problems almost always when people come to the clinic. Well, I have a hard time sleeping. I was like, well, what time you go to bed? Oh, 9 o'clock. Okay, what time do you try to get up? Oh, I'd like to sleep till 8 or 9 in the morning. I'm like, okay, well, yeah, you have a sleep problem. You're trying to get too much sleep. Like I said, you go to bed at 9 o'clock. I bet you get up, what, about 2 in the morning? Yeah, I wake up about 2, 3 o'clock in the morning. I can't get back to sleep. I'm like, well, you're not supposed to go back to sleep. You've already had your 6 to 7 hours of sleep. Find something else to do. Go read a book. Go for a jog. Do something else. I said, if you want to get up at 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock in the morning, then don't go to bed till midnight. Don't go to bed till midnight, then you'll get your 6 or 7 hours sleep. All of a sudden, you'll be refreshed. I know it sounds silly. I know somebody told you you needed 8 hours sleep. I know there's so much information out there that you're basing stuff on that has absolutely no reality in science. It's just somebody said that, and then everybody else said, oh, that sounded cool. Let's just go with it. I mean, just crazy stuff out there that they call healthcare. 6 to 7 hours sleep a night. Okay, number 5 in the 5 stars to good health. This is probably the most important of all of them. Who are you? Have a good attitude. Understand that life is a fleeting moment. It's passing you by right now. You are a time creature. You live in the moment as it passes through. You project your imaginations and fears into the future, and you accumulate memories as it goes by. That's why I call this radio show Minutes to Memories, because right now, this moment, you and I are creating a memory together. That's what's special. It's that moment-to-moment life. I counsel with cancer patients. I counsel with people that are dying all the time. And the most important thing I can try to get across to them is, how much of now are you spending to maybe get another tomorrow? A doctor cannot save a life. A doctor can extend a life, maybe, but no one saves a life, because life, by its very definition, dies. You will die. get over it, come back to the moment, and realize right now is precious. Look out into your environment. Right now, right in front of you, your brain can only process 30,000 bits of information. There's over 3 billion signals coming up through the spinal cord alone, just from internal information. You cannot process all these. Your innate intelligence, the natural instincts of the body will take care of most of it. But you do have a self-determined ability to decide to look at something. You have this thing called the point of attention. And the point of attention is going to reside on whatever it is you decide to place it on. So you look around the room right now. I'll bet you can find something right in front of you right now that you don't like, that you can complain about, that you can grumble about, that you can say, I wish that was that, or this is a problem. All right? It's right there in front of us. Everybody's got it. All right? Now, look around in the same room at the same time, and I'll bet you can find something that makes you smile. A picture of your kids, a record you used to listen to. Just something. There's something right there in front of you that makes you grateful, that you can be gratitude or grateful about, that makes you smile. You see, the universe offers you both. 24/7, in every second of every moment, you as a self-determined human being have a choice. Even if you don't want to have a choice, you still have a choice. And how's Rush say it? Even if you choose not to decide, you still have made a choice. Living in the lime. Sorry, going off there. Okay, that's one of my favorite bands. Maybe that's where all my philosophy comes from, because I grew up in the 70s with Rush and Kansas and all these great bands that actually meant something when they sang things. You had stories going on. So in the moment, you look out, you decide what you're looking at. Do you want to look at something that makes you grumpy, or you want to look at something that makes you smile? Your choice, completely, absolutely your choice. My child says, well, he made me mad. He didn't make you anything. He did what he did. You decided to get mad. You're in charge of your life. Be responsible for it. And if I can get a 7-year-old to accept that, then I can certainly get anybody else as an adult out there to look at their own life and realize that that's yours. That's what your God, or whatever you want to call it, gave you. You know, you are a self-determined thing that is responsible for the outcome of your actions and inactions. If you decide not to do anything, you're still responsible. Sorry, bub, you can't give it up. You can't give it to anybody else. That's not their responsibility. They might want the responsibility. They might try to talk you into selling them the responsibility for your life. But ultimately, in the end, at the pearly gates, baby, it's you. You're the one that's going to have to answer to your actions or inactions. So have a good attitude. Find things to be happy about. Find things to be grateful for. And go moment to moment with your life. And in the end, you will die.
Bummer.
No, not really. Not really. It's not a bummer. It's not a bummer, though. I mean, that's
what I don't want to die, man. You guys need to come up with a eternal solution.
The alchemy, the ultimate Chinese alchemy.
That's right.
We can make you extend your life, but we haven't figured out how to end it. You know, I was studying cancer the other day, and one of the big problems with cancer, why it's such a big pain in the butt, is, see, cancer is immortal. It's a cluster of cells that have learned how to turn off their self-sacrificing genes. They don't die. So that would not be a problem to have a few immortals around. Even think about society. Okay, you got a couple of immortals hanging around. That's no big deal. They'll probably gather a lot of wealth about them and probably be in charge of everything before long, because they've been around forever. But even that wouldn't be a most terrible situation. But the problem with the cancer immortals are, not only are they immortal, it means they don't get out of the way for new stuff, but they also reproduce. So you have a race of immortals that are reproducing. I mean, vampires are immortal, right? But they don't reproduce. They can make more vampires, I guess, by infecting like a disease, but they don't actually have babies, that, as far as I understand. I mean, I've watched a lot of movies, but...
Yeah, not, there's been a few like To Die For and stuff like that, but they're very rare.
That have babies?
Oh, yeah.
So you have undead babies.
It doesn't make any sense, because I've always maintained, getting in a weird subject, of course, but I've always maintained there's no way a vampire could even do that because he doesn't have blood flow. And you know what doesn't happen if he doesn't have blood flow.
That's right.
Because,
what's up with that?
Exactly.
Well, maybe if he's got a fresh feed, you know, then he...
Maybe Viagra affects vampires. I don't know.
Yeah.
Help.
Yep. Okay. So, cancer is a problem because it's immortal and it reproduces. So when it reproduces more immortals, they tend to take up space. And as they take up space, they're kind of stubborn. They don't do what they're supposed to do because they refuse to die. And then they start interrupting with the normal cells, and all the guys that are supposed to be living there are all kicked out down the neighborhood. And you get this whole group of people that don't belong, and they start sucking all the life and all the chi. And actually, Chinese studies show that cancer cells suck all the electrons. They pull all the negative chi or the negative ions, which is what you use to thrive on, to themselves. So they found ways of breaking up tumors is blast them with positive ionic radiation, and it disrupts the tumors because they thrive on the negative chi, the negative ions, electron charges. So they suck all the chi out of the rest of your body until eventually you die, and then they die too. So I guess they're not really immortal. They're only immortal as long as the host population of cells. And see, that's the difference. And that gets us to the next big thing you got to understand. This thing you call a body, that's not one thing. That darn thing's not even solid, okay? It has an average lifespan of 6 weeks. You've heard me say that. I say it in my office all the time because it's such a critical piece of knowledge that if you can lay it into your brain and actually learn that and think about that on a regular basis, your body's replacing itself moment by moment, day by day. I don't know what the percentage is, but a large percent of the dust in your house right now is you. You sloughed off those cells. You are making dust as you breathe. You're bringing in molecules. You're passing off molecules. They say that the oxygen on the planet Earth is recycled. It doesn't go anywhere. You breathe the same oxygen Jesus breathed. I mean, it comes and goes, and your body builds up and dies off and builds up and dies off. It's a population of over 2 trillion cells. The healthy ones are mortal cells. In other words, they die. They die relatively quickly, and they get out of the way for the new ones. So then we step into the Einstein thing about insanity. Remember Einstein's definition of insanity?
Yeah, I do.
Doing the same thing over and over and over again and expecting something different to happen.
Yeah, expecting an end result to change.
Yeah. How is that going to happen?
Unless you change your pattern, the result will not change.
It's like a scientific experiment. If you don't put a different input in, then you're going to get the same output, okay? You're going to have some variabilities in the molecular formation of the output, but putting the same reagents in the chemical reaction, you're going to get the same reaction out. If you want a different substance at the end, you got to put different reagents in the beginning. This happens in time. It happens in your life. If you don't like the body you're living in now, guess what? It's awesome because 6 weeks from now, you can have a whole different one. But you gotta think different. You gotta act different. You gotta put in different reagents and different pieces to the pie, and then have patience with the body regenerating. I'm working on a lady with rheumatoid arthritis right now. We've been at it for about 10 days now. She's an American. She's very impatient. She wants it all now, but she's already seen a 30 to 50% improvement in range of motion. Inflammation's going down. Lots of cool things are happening as this supposedly incurable disease is beginning to regenerate out of her existence. You see, you exist in your mind. You exist in this timeline, this perpetual motion forward. You look down and you feel your body right now, and the illusion is that's it. That's you. But that's not true. That is just one little spark along this lifespan, this path, this adventure that you go through while you're mortal. So change your thoughts, change your input, change what's going on, and watch the body change over a 6 to 8 week period of time. It's miraculous. It's wonderful. Boy, is it fun around the clinic. All right, we're going to take a break. This is Dr. Drumright coming at you. See you in a minute.
Jackalope 105 FM.
All right, we're back. This is Dr. Drumright talking to you at Jackalope Radio FM. All right, where were we at? Oh, yeah. Your population of cells that you call a body. What an amazing thing. I mean, kidney cells, liver cells, lung cells, skin cells, bowel cells. I mean, there's just dozens of different populations all doing very special, specific things. But see, like your skin cells, they keep you protected. They keep you warm. They keep your blood, your temperature regulated. They protect you from the sun. They do all kinds of cool things for you. But they don't digest food. They depend on another population of cells in your intestines to absorb and digest food, which depends on the liver to process that food and turn it into something useful. So you got this wonderful cooperative effect of a number of different types of cells, all mortal, all dying off, that work in this beautiful symphony of a body. You have different systems that all work in unison together, but they all have one thing in common, and that's the DNA. The DNA is a double helix tuning fork. It vibrates. Modern DNA research is showing that Mendelssohn's study on passive and dominant genes wasn't exactly accurate. Now, with the Human Genome Project, they're saying there's no gene exactly that makes your eyes green or brown. It's actually a cluster of different genes that are continually reproducing a particular protein synthesis based on environmental stimuli. So even things like the color of your eye, with a different environmental stimulus, like change the oxygen content or change something else in the environment, your eyes could change colors. So your doppelgangers and your shapeshifters and stuff like that, I mean, maybe, you know, we're getting into places where we can start observing scientific data of why these legends or these theories of different types of existences occurred at all. All right, so last segment here. What I'm doing is today is reviewing topics. I'm reviewing things that I want to talk about, things that I want to bring up to the forefront and discuss out. And this next one is very dear to my heart, but it also should definitely generate some conversation. All right, and I put this on Facebook the other day, and I'm just going to say this. And if you don't like it, tell me, because I want to know, and I want to know why you don't like it. The medical system is a scam. The whole darn thing. I mean, there's. I can't think of anything except emergency room medicine where they sew you back together after you've been shot. They take the bullet out and sew it back together that has any use to a healthy human being. Anything. Let's go down a list of a couple of these things. Cholesterol. Cholesterol. What is cholesterol? Serum cholesterol. Oh, I don't know. You know, the doctors know all that stuff. You know, I'm busy working. I don't have time to read all this stuff. I don't have time to know what the doctor said. I got high cholesterol, so he said, take these pills and it'll fix the cholesterol. Well, you see, there's a problem there. And when the doctor takes your blood work, he goes and kills it, puts it in a centrifuge, kills it, and then he comes back with these numbers and this E patient. Your E patient is your chart. And the chart has numbers on it, and those numbers have a nice guidepost of what's called normal. So when the doctor looks at your E chart or his E patient, he doesn't have to look at you anymore because he's already got samples from you. Now he's looking at the samples, and the E patient says that there's too much cholesterol in this person over here, so we're going to have to do something about get this E patient back into line here. We got to get these numbers back down there where they belong. So he's going to give you a statin, Lipitor or something like that, to get his E patient, his chart, back into alignment so that it looks good on his chart. Your cholesterol numbers are down where they belong. But come on, I mean, my job is to make this simple for you. What is cholesterol? Cholesterol is it's some fat that's floating around in your blood system, and what it's doing is soaking up stress, if you will. You have, the big word is C-reactive proteins. You got angry molecules floating around from stress, from bad food, from no exercise, all these things I talk about. If you're dehydrated, if you're not eating, if you're not exercising right, it creates stress. And stress is an electrically charged, angry molecules that are floating around doing damage to you. They're making your arteries hard. They're making your brain hard. They're making your bones rot. They're doing all kinds of nasty things to you. So your liver, in order to help protect the rest of those trillions of cells, produces this stuff called cholesterol, serum cholesterol, and shoots it out in the bloodstream to go mop up the mess. They'll clean up all these nasty, angry molecules, these C-reactive proteins, and scavenge them up, mop them up, bring them back to the liver so it can process them and get rid of them. So your lifestyle has caused a lot of C-reactive proteins, a lot of stress, a lot of acidic environment in your body. Your body tries to defend itself by elevating the serum cholesterol. You go to the doctor tests your serum cholesterol. He doesn't ask what you've been eating. He doesn't ask if you exercise every day. He doesn't ask anything about you because that's not on his chart. He doesn't even want to know about what you've been doing. All he has to do is suck some blood out of you, put it on a slide, and go count the molecules in it, and his E patient tells him exactly what he needs to know. So your E patient says you all have high cholesterol. Here, take a drug, magic bullet, take this, you'll be fine. Problem, your cholesterol is protecting you from your lifestyle. You take a chemical to lower or keep your liver from doing what it's supposed to do. Guess what, dude? That's a time bomb. You have time, but you're blowing yourself up. You got a problem. Your body's trying to defend yourself. You go to the drug doctor. He gives you a chemical toxin that makes the problem worse. I mean, it says right on the bottle, the Lipitor doesn't reduce the risk of heart attack or stroke. Okay, all it does is help your E patient. It helps your chart look better because now your numbers are down where the doctor wants them. And God bless them. Most of the medical doctors have no clue about what this is. I mean, they just got some pharmaceutical rep that come in and told them that, you know, we got the numbers down to 180 now. And you get down to 180, people are going to live better, which is not based in science. It's just based on selling Lipitor. That's one. Oh, geez, I can just go on and on and on here. Low-salt diet. Low-salt, I mean, somewhere about 50 years ago, somebody said, well, you know, if the blood's thick and you got lots of salt in the blood, that would seem to make the blood pressure go up. So they said, oh, yeah, well, salt makes your blood pressure go up. Well, nobody did the research. Nobody even tried to figure that out. They just said, well, that sounds like a good idea to me. Well, yeah, okay, great. Just cut your salt out. That might lower your blood pressure. And they just went on with it. Okay, now we got an urban legend going on. You got people telling people and people with white lab coats who, well, you know, he's a doctor. He must know what he's talking about, right? I mean, he went to school for 12 years. He ought to know what he's talking about. He's telling me I shouldn't eat salt. You know, you get an older person who doesn't eat salt. Guess what happens? Your body's an electrical device. It requires ions. It requires salt to work. So your heart starts skipping a beat. Okay, you get this thing called palpitations, okay? Palpitations. And then what do? They give you another chemical to stabilize your heart. You have palpitations. You could die. Remember, you're going to die anyway, but you could die. So heart palpitations is mainly caused by bad salt or not enough salt, believe it or not. Your heart is an electrical device. It requires salt. Now, if you don't believe me, call me. Let's talk about it. Bring up your research. I'll bring up my research, man. Get out the big guns. Let's go. All right. Another one. I can't even read my own writing here. Well, you know how I feel about vaccines. Oh, my goodness. Vaccines. I saw an article the other day. It was classic to doublespeak, okay? They got this article about the CDC came out with brand new studies showing that they were talking about healthcare and how spending money on healthcare doesn't seem to improve the people's well-being. Duh. I mean, spending money is spending money. Healthcare is a responsibility. You can't buy healthcare. You got to go do it. But at least they're doing these studies. And at the bottom of the study, it talks about vaccines. And they're saying, well, you know, we've seen for the first time ever, a reduction in the number of people getting their children vaccinated. And the strangest thing, in the past, the people who don't get their children vaccinated are the poor people, you know, the lower income people who just can't afford it or just don't go to the doctor. But suddenly we're seeing a 4% decrease in the participation in vaccine by the affluent, by the people who have money and are well-educated, especially the higher education. We've got a 4% decrease. At the same time, we've seen a 3% increase in vaccines for the Medicaid patients. Medicaid people are on government assistance, so it's the poor people that are getting their vaccines, so the government propaganda is working very good to get the poor people's vaccines, but the educated people aren't getting vaccines. All right, so there's the data on the line, but then the guy comes down and he goes, you know, this is a very scary trend going on here. If these people aren't going to get their children vaccinated, we have a very significant increased risk of outbreaks outbreaks of these otherwise preventable diseases, especially among the poor population. I'm like, okay, whoa. You just said that the poor people are getting vaccinated and the educated people aren't getting vaccinated. And then you twist that around and say, and because the educated people aren't getting vaccinated, you're going to increase the outbreak of diseases in the poor people. I mean, it just boggles your mind how they can twist this stuff around. And because he has a PhD and a bunch of letters behind his name, he can say this stuff and people go, oh, well, you know, that must be right. I mean, he's the expert. I must believe what the expert says. He has the white lab coat on. Line up, grandma and grandpa. I mean, if you drive down the street, they have free vaccines in the Walmart now. I mean, come over and get your injection of formaldehyde and mercury-laden concoction of craziness. Now, you want to get into this that debate, look up indoor plumbing. You've heard me say it before. Indoor plumbing, get rid of infectious diseases, not vaccines. Vaccines are a scam. Scam. I know some people that listen to this radio are just cringing right now because they've told me for the whole time I started this radio show, please don't be so controversial. You know, just sell your clinic. Just try to make this a good show. And it's like, you know what? I'm driven. I got a quest. I got a mission. I'm an American. I'm free. I'm independent. And dang it, I want you to be too. I want you to step up, learn this stuff, you know, gain some insight, gain some responsibility for your own life. Don't believe everything you hear. For goodness sake, don't believe me. I'm just another one of those experts in the lab coat, okay? Don't believe me. Challenge me. Look up your own research. We're in a new age, the age of the internet. You can Google search things. You can look up everybody's different opinion. You roll through them, decide which ones you like, and go with it. Okay, if you want to vaccinate your kids, I'm not here to judge you. You know, go for it. If that's what you believe in, God bless you, you know. And it's all good. I'm going to love you when you come into practice. I'm going to put my hands on you. We're going to work on your spine. We're going to do everything we can. When I talk to you about this stuff in the office, I'm giving this information for you to make choices. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'll never tell you what to do. When you walk out of my office after a treatment, then you'll hear me say every time, I suggest we probably need to do this again in a few days, but you know what? You're the boss. You know your body better than I do. You run your body. I'm here to help. I'm for hire. I have the knowledge. I have the skills. I'm available to you, but you got to stay responsible. You got to stay the boss. And if you understand that, we're going to get along great. If you come in here and you say, Doc, fix me. I don't want to know anything about it. You're going to frustrate me. You're going to frustrate yourself. And we're probably not going to get along that good anyway. So find somebody else. I mean, I've been doing this too long to mess with that kind of stuff. I'm getting awesome results lately. We're doing some wonderful regenerative stuff, working with the 6-week cellular thing. Check out my videos. Go to harmonyhealth.com. Todd's been a wonderful help around here. We're getting some exciting stuff happening with jackaloperadio.com. I mean, really starting to get some momentum. And I just love the spirit that's starting to rise out there in America and I think around the world as people get in touch, communicate, talk, listen, learn. Be responsible. Love you all. This is Dr. Drumright, HarmonyHealth.com, Minutes to Memories, Jackalope Radio with my good friend Todd Sheets. Love you all. Have a great weekend. Talk to you next week.